This podcast of The Exchange is sponsored by
Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org. Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Homework. Everyone's got an opinion on it, whether you think that schools give too much or not enough, whether you believe it's useful for building knowledge and skills or a complete waste of time. Educators themselves seem conflicted about homework, especially recently at some New Hampshire high schools where they're moving toward what's called a competency-based education. This is the idea that showing mastery of material is what counts most, rather than so-called seat time in class or number of worksheets handed in. Homework is still assigned, but presented as a way to enhance understanding. But not surprisingly, many teens interpreted this more loosely, concluding that since homework doesn't count, they didn't have to do it. That was the case at Concord High earlier this school year, until leaders there clarified the policy and, sorry students, yes, you still have to do it. Today in The Exchange, what good is homework? Let's hear from you. Is homework valuable or a waste of time? Or does it depend on the subject, on the assignment, on the individual child? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We had three guests in studio. Tom Crumrine is here. He's an assistant principal at Concord High School. He's also worked at the elementary and middle school levels. And Tom, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Also with us, Jennifer Thompson, teacher of language arts and social studies at Unity Elementary School, which covers K through 8. Jennifer herself teaches grades 6 through 8. And Jennifer, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you, Laura.
Also with us, Megan Birch. She's the interim director of educator preparation at Plymouth State University and an associate professor in the English department. And Megan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, and Jennifer, I want to start with you since you were right there in the classroom. What do you do? Do you hand out homework or not?
I do hand out homework. Homework is nightly for my students. And actually, at Unity Elementary School, we have a policy where homework is assigned for kindergarten through grade 8.
Kindergarten?
Yes. We follow a 10-minute per grade level per night rule. So kindergartens would only have 10 minutes. Grade 6 would have an hour, so on and so forth.
An hour of homework for a 6th grader?
Yes.
That sounds like a lot.
Well, some students might think that it is. Some students might think not, depending on their attitude toward homework. We, as a school, feel that homework certainly has a value. And the value is threefold. First, it provides students, at least it should provide students, the practice that they need in order to develop and grow their skills and understanding of content. We also think it's important for students to be prepared for class and also to develop those very important habits of learning that will carry them through school and beyond.
Now, without getting too detailed, Jennifer, you said an hour for the sixth grader, so
right.
10 minutes. Is that an hour from the English teacher and an hour from the math teacher, or everybody coordinates to make sure it's not too much?
Right. No, teachers coordinate to make sure that it's not too much. So that would be 60 minutes total.
So, Tom, talk to 10 different teachers and you'll get 10 different opinions on homework. I remember back to school night at Concord High School. My son has 6 or 7 different teachers, you know, 6 or 7 different subjects. Every single teacher had a different attitude about homework? What's the range of opinions among your teachers about homework?
I think you had a perfect experience there. There's a wide range of what teachers value, how they approach it. At the high school level, there's a difference between the ninth grade, the 10th grade, what a 12th grader is expected, so that they are ready if they're going to college, they're ready to get into the work world and be able to deliver what their bosses want to do. You will have some teachers will say that students must do every single bit of homework to do the next chance or to have a reassessment. There will some teachers adamantly feel that there shouldn't be any homework and that the main work is done right there in the school with the teacher as coach. Doesn't mean it's less difficult, but that the work is done there. And then you'll have some sort of in the middle that are saying, I'm going to be very purposeful about homework. I'm going to think very carefully about what I give. You're going to be able to do it as a student. You're not going to be doing the kind of homework that that you can't do. I'm not going to ask you to try and learn something by doing homework. So it runs the gamut.
I thought it was really interesting that Jennifer said, we as a school have a policy. Mm-hmm. So all the teachers at Unity Elementary are on the same page about homework. But at other schools, including Concord High, as I said, you get one teacher versus another teacher. Do you guys don't have a unified policy, it sounds
well,
like?
Well, we always are asking our teachers to, and we are lucky in Concord to have incredibly professional, well-educated teachers that really keep up with their craft, are constantly doing professional development. And so we ask folks to determine what is right for a ninth grader, what is right for a 12th grader. Ninth graders might need more time to simply just practice things so that they get ready for the job of high school. And so what we do have a procedure where we have two parts of what we call a crimson code, punctual and prepared, and being an active participant in your learning.
And if you haven't done the homework, you're not prepared and you can't actively participate.
Exactly. And that can be up to 20% of the grade and no more. So we have made that as a procedure that we use so that homework can't be 50% of the grade. And there's a spot there for teachers. If they choose to put the homework grade into one of those categories, they can.
Okay. Well, what about you, Megan Birch? You're teaching the teachers. What are you teaching them about homework? When to use it? When not to use it?
Well, I think that we think about – the best way to think about homework is to think about what we know is best about teaching and learning in general. At Plymouth State, we often talk about educating the whole child, which includes certainly academic achievement, but it also includes sociocultural conditions and the impact that our relationships with students have on their social well-being, their emotional well-being, as well as their intellectual well-being. So – I don't know of a course at Plymouth State that says this is the homework course, but I know of many of my colleagues who teach within this vision of a whole child. So we really want students to consider what impact is whatever kind of teaching, whatever kind of assignment, be it homework or in class, what kind of impact is that having on the student? What kind of impact is that having on their achievement? What kind of impact is that having on their love of learning? What kind of impact is that having towards a particular subject or school in general? Another way of thinking about it is we also want to look at the kinds of learning that we know support critical and creative thinking, the kinds of learning that we might consider messy learning, right, where kids are thinking about ideas, they might be tangential, they're not completely fully developed, and therefore they may be kind of raw or rough. And what is the role of a teacher in helping and supporting students with those kind of ideas? So again, I don't think homework is the one thing we talk about, but it certainly is one aspect of quality teaching and learning.
Well, and you talk about the whole child, and we do hear a lot, Megan, about some pushback from parents about, you know, okay, we have a childhood obesity problem. If kids are stuck doing homework, maybe they're not playing or doing sports, or kids are just need time to chill out and have unstructured time. So that's the sort of whole child thing. But then you hear the other side. Hey, the South Koreans are spending all this time in academic pursuits. The Chinese are spending all this time in academic academic pursuits. American kids are vegging out in front of the computer screen. I just wonder if you can give us a little bit more on this idea of the whole child and how homework fits into that, because we seem to swing back and forth culturally.
Certainly. I mean, I think the things that you're mentioning are certainly parts of the whole child. In my mind, I think more about sort of an ecological perspective of children and the conditions in which they grow and learn. So it is relevant, and like you said, to talk about obesity and factors that might influence their academic achievement. But I think also about sort of sociocultural conditions and individual learners, which really makes the teacher have to ask, what do I know is best for this child? So what do I know is best for this child because of the way they learn, because of their access to resources at home, because of their age level, because of the kind of subject I teach? So those are subject level, but they're also, you know, do I care about the emotional development of this child? Do I care about if this child quits learning or does sort of gives up on learning because of the conditions? So I think there are lots of factors. There's social, emotional, as well as intellectual.
Let's go to our listeners. A lot of people, I think, will be joining us today, and I have a lot more questions for all of you. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Today in the exchange, we're asking that age-old question, does homework matter? And let's hear from you. First up is Steve in Peterborough. Hi, Steve. You're on the exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a high school teacher. I teach 11th and 12th grade English. I also have three kids at home. I have a third grader, a fifth grader, and an eighth grader. So homework plays a big role in my life in all aspects. And I'd say two things that I think are pretty important to think about. First, you know, I think about my own self. And if my boss sent me home and said, you got to do this work, and the work didn't seem to be completely relevant to what I was going to be doing maybe even the next day, I would be very quickly cynical about my boss and his wisdom. So I try to do that as a teacher. I try to make that any homework I give, and in the English classroom, it's usually reading with maybe some guiding questions for discussion the following day. But any homework I give needs to have immediate and apparent relevance for the kids. The other thing I'd say, which is just in a different subject, one of the issues as a teacher that I see is, you know, the kids at home who have support from parents who, you know, value homework, those are the kids who tend to do well in school anyway. And if you assign too much homework, or if you're not careful, you end up disadvantaging kids who are already disadvantaged because they don't have the support at home to have, you know, someone help them with their homework. Their frustration increases, and so on. So I just think as educators, we have to be so careful about how we assign homework. The idea that you would say, you know, 10 minutes per grade per night on principle strikes me as really short-sighted and not a good way to proceed. We need to be more thoughtful.
Steve, thank you so much. Lots of good thoughts there. And real quick, let's pick up on what he said, Tom, about, you know, some kids have parents at home who can say, do your homework. How's it going? Do you need extra paper? Other kids are kind of on their own.
Well, and I'm very sensitive to that, to the wide range, and we in Concord specifically and in New Hampshire as a whole, we have a wide variety of socioeconomic differences, more ethnic differences than ever before, and it's an exciting challenge to have, and we want to be really mindful of that as we go forward.
Okay, and coming up, I want to ask all of you, why homework at all, given that they work 6, 7, 8 hours a day in school? Why even have extra work at home? We'll talk about that after a break. And take a lot more of your calls, so stay with us. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, a new look at an old debate, the pros and cons of homework. Give us a call. Do you think homework matters, that it's important for building skills and knowledge, or is it a complete waste of time? Or somewhere in between, give us a call. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. Before we go back to our listeners, I did want to follow up with you too, Jennifer. On our caller Steve's point, taking issue with the 10 minutes per night rule and saying, look, homework needs to be relevant. If it's not relevant, then don't bother.
Right. And I can certainly relate to Steve. Steve not only am I a teacher, but I'm also a parent. I have a fifth grade student. She's a reluctant learner, and homework is a nightly battle. So I completely understand where you're coming from. The 10-minute per night rule is mainly a guideline, and it's a guideline to ensure that students are not being overloaded in a way that's not age appropriate. But also, we need to have the assumption that homework is purposeful, and that the homework that teachers are assigning has a very specific purpose in both assessing, meaning being able to for teachers to know what students can be able to do and what they know. So it's our responsibility to ensure that, you know, whatever we assign to kids, not only do they know why it's important, but also parents need to know why it's important as well. I need to know that the work that my daughter is doing, and if it is going to be a struggle for her, that it is worthwhile.
What's the nightly battle all about?
Oh, goodness. Well, the nightly battle is that oftentimes she has a tough time doing the work independently. And I know that parents and students also feel that, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm stressing out because I can't do this. The material is new. Homework should be practice, and students should be able to complete it independently without adult support. And if that's not happening, then sure, it is going to be a battle. Students will get frustrated, parents will get frustrated, and the value of homework will be lost.
And Tom, that's what you said earlier, too, is that homework shouldn't be introducing new concepts. You know, it should be just practicing what you did. Something else, too, that Jennifer said, a nightly battle with her daughter. You know, kids are already in school 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be stressful. A lot of classes, a lot of teachers, a lot of other people, you know, go through the halls at Concord High School, and it's very crowded, and there's a lot. I mean, maybe they don't need homework.
It's quite possible, and there are students. It depends on what they're preparing for. I remember one of the most difficult things. I was working with a niece in 8th grade with algebra, and what was happening is that she was practicing the algebra, and she was doing it incorrectly. So then I was going back to what I knew about algebra. As a science teacher, I was able to know the algebra, but then I was teaching her the way that I remembered algebra. And we were getting at loggerheads because she's like, she was still getting the wrong answers, but I was like, I can get you the right answer, but I can't do it the way your teacher taught you. And I don't know if there was much value at all to that experience for her that night, and I hope it wasn't something that is repeated. So we ask our teachers to really carefully think about why. Why are you giving homework? Of course, never give homework just because give homework. The student, I ask teachers to turn it on their head. If a sort of whiny student says, why do I have to do this? There should be an answer. Don't take that as an intimidating question. Say, I have a great answer for you. I want you to do this because you're going to be able to do it. You'll be able to practice, and it's going to help you tomorrow.
Yeah, interesting. So should you have helped your niece? That's another big question. Should parents or uncles, in this case, help with homework? I think Jennifer said it should be an assignment that a child can do independently.
I totally agree. And that was one where I was probably hurting her because I was teaching her a different way. She clearly hadn't learned the first way, and I was teaching her a different way that still wasn't working. And I like homework where I had a friend who was a 6th grade math teacher, and he would send home a car talk question. You know, Click and Clack would do the puzzler. And take this puzzler home. You don't have to be right or wrong, but you have to do it with one of your parents or a brother or sister. And I like Alfie Cohn, a writer on this subject, does a lot of talking about, you know, kindergarten or first grade. Your homework is to talk for 10 minutes to your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your grandma, where it's relevant, it's age appropriate, it's useful, and the student catches with yeah, I understand why that's important.
Well, Alfie Cohn, famous author, writes on education topics all the time. He wrote a book, gosh, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, mm-hmm. called The Homework Myth, where he basically said homework is bad, 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 bad.
Yeah, and he does. And in the last chapter of the book, he does provide some suggestions like that, that if you are going to give homework, he is very skeptical of homework at the early grades, saying that it really shouldn't be done at all. But at the end, he's like, if you're going to give homework, it's got to be purposeful. It's got to have a goal, and it's got to be doable. The there is no value in a kid going home with homework that they cannot do.
Lots of calls. Let's go back to them. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Let's hear from you, your voice on this homework debate that we've been having for at least a century in this country, whether it matters, how to make it relevant, whether kids should have it at all. 1-800-892-6477. Sam's in Brentwood. Hi, Sam. You're on the Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
My comment really is that I find a lot of teachers tend to just, as kind of a personal matter, value their subject the most and correspondingly assign homework they feel is proportional to the importance of their subject. But you end up with all the teachers doing this, and it just leads to too much homework that causes way too much stress for your average student.
So what's your own personal experience in this? I mean, obviously, you were a student at one point.
Yeah, I'm currently a junior in college, and just in high school and middle school, I just ended up with so much homework from each subject that in each class individually, it would have been fine. And in college, it comes out a lot more like that, where your classes are more spaced apart.
Right.
And so you get a lot more time per subject to do it. But in high school, you just end up with a ton of homework from each subject. And a couple times I would end up with 4 to 5 hours of homework a night just because teachers all gave tons of homework that night and they all felt it was super important for each class.
Kind of like an ego trip for each teacher, Sam. Sounds like that's what you're saying. What do you think, Megan Birch?
Well, one of the things I'm thinking while I'm listening to his description of sort of the fragmented nature of the work, there's work for this class, there's work for that class, kind of echoes what we know about homework in general, that the best homework, if it's going to be purposeful, another thing that it has to be is communicated and transparent. And that can be, as Tom said, between teachers and students. Why are we doing this? It can be between parents and parents and teachers. Why does my child have to do this? But it also should be between teachers and other teachers in the building, as well as administrators and teachers. What is not only what is the purpose, but how are we going to share the responsibility? And what is the total impact that all of our homework together is going to have on one child?
Well, and easier to do at Unity, right, Jennifer, because it's a small school.
Yes, definitely. We're a small school. We have about 115 children. I am the only middle school language arts social studies teacher, and we have one math science teacher, and we blend our disciplines. So there's only two of us, so that allows plenty of opportunities for us to collaborate and to ensure that we are on the same page with regard to what we're assigning for homework, how much homework we're assigning. And, you know, now with the Common Core, it's a great opportunity to collaborate on assignments to ensure that, you know, the homework we're assigning relates to, you know, one topic that together we might be co-teaching.
How do you think views, Tom, have evolved on homework in the time that you've been an educator? Because as I said, we seem to keep going back and forth on this. 10, 12 years ago, there was this big, you know, anti-homework campaign, front cover of Time magazine, The Atlantic. How do you think we've sort of gone back and forth on this over the past 12 or 15 years?
Well, I was talking about this with a colleague of mine, Kristen Burns, yesterday, about how it's changed over 20 years. And we were focusing on the idea of feedback, and feedback being how are you doing on the work that you're doing, whether it's home or it's in the class, and how am I as the teacher slash coach, telling you the goal is out there and where are you in relation to getting to that goal? And it's that emphasis on the feedback to the student of where you are in relation to the goal and whether that's communicated with a little bit of homework and feedback on that or whether it's in the class. I think that that's one of the biggest changes, is really telling the student clearly where are you in relation to the goal and what do you need to do to get there.
What do you think?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, homework is part of good teaching and learning, and good teaching and learning happens in context. And so some of the changes in the swings in homework opinion or opinion about homework have mirrored political swings over time, pressures. We talked about the Common Core and sort of high stakes testing. I don't think it's coincidental that homework has sometimes been perceived to have increased since their stakes are higher. So I think anytime we think about homework, is it good, is it bad, is it effective or not, and we think about political and social conditions that have some powerful forces behind, you know, our answer, I think that is perhaps, you know, says a little bit about why that it changes.
So do you mean high-stakes testing puts more pressure on districts to look good in those numbers, puts more pressure on individual teachers, so they say, wow, I don't want to look bad. I'm going to assign more homework to make sure my kids know it. Is that
what
you're
saying? I'm not so sure that people are doing it so that they don't look bad, but I think that parents and teachers want to be helpful to their students. We want children to succeed. So I don't think it's about putting on a pose, but really trying and really thinking about what's it going to mean, and perhaps trying more homework, perhaps then saying it didn't work that way, I'll try this. So I think it's an authentic desire on the parts of parents and teachers and administrators to support kids.
Let's go back to our listeners, and Cindy's in Bedford. Hi, Cindy, go ahead. You're on The Exchange. Thanks for calling in.
Hi there. Yes, I've been on the Bedford School Board for about 18 years, and I'm presently on the State Board. And, you know, one new concept that we've been experimenting with more and more, piloting in Bedford, and I think many other districts are also, is called the flipped classroom. And in that scenario, a lot of the typical things that would be in a classroom, the teacher's explanations or lectures or something like that, are recorded on their, you know, for computers, on for the student to use at home. That becomes the homework. Then they can listen to the math or the science or whatever it may be, explanation, as many times as they need to. Maybe once we'll do it, maybe 10 times for someone to get it. And then it's flipped because the homework is then done in the classroom where the teacher can walk around and help any students and see how they're doing on all these math questions, science concepts, or even with the language arts. You know, we need to keep experimenting for the purposeful way that this will work best for our children. But the other thing, too, that I think is so vitally important, the last several years we had a huge homework research committee in Bedford made up of parents, teachers. I was on there from the school board, administrators. We took a very long, detailed look at it, surveyed all the parents, talked to all the teachers, so that we came up with a policy so that it was district-wide. I know Unity is small. We were about 4,500 students. So that we looked at all the things that your people today have been talking about.
And so what is the policy,
sure,
Cindy? Yeah, what is the policy?
Well,
if you could summarize it.
We developed the policies of the time frame that the lady from Unity talked about, where it shouldn't, you know, starting with the first grade, moving up through the high school, time frames. But yet one child may take 20 minutes and one child may take 2 hours. So it's very hard to do that.
Yeah.
We tried to have our teachers coordinate in, you know, large school systems. Okay, making sure that you're not having six big tests all at the same time or big projects due. But we tried to look at what is, and have all the teachers evaluate, what is the purpose of what you're doing. One quick thing, Laura, I don't know if you're familiar, but one of the minimum standards in, minimum standards is that a district has to have a homework policy.
Okay. Cindy, good to hear from you, and lots of thoughts there. I wonder what you think first, Tom. Bedford's a big district. They've got a district-wide policy on homework. Do you think a lot of districts have that, or is it more sort of each teacher does it his or her own way?
I don't know about all of the districts. We visited some schools with procedures, and that's why we have trusted our teachers a lot to work within the best practices that they feel are necessary. As I mentioned, about what does a ninth grader need, what does a 10th grader need, and we've at times had a little bit looser guidelines. We've tightened it up to have the 20%. I did want to mention that Cindy seems like a great school board member. The idea of flipped classrooms, we're definitely doing it at Concord High. It is just a fantastic idea. We run into a couple problems. Is the kid able to access the material at home? But if you can get over that hurdle, it is a fantastic idea because you're practicing when you get back to school.
So instead of being at home saying, I don't understand the lecture that he or she gave, or I don't understand the concept he or she presented, and the parent has no idea because, you know, you weren't there. This is the idea where, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, as Cindy described, you maybe watch the history lecture or the algebra lecture the night before online, and then the next day you come in with questions and you practice and so forth. So it is a total reversal of what we have now.
Absolutely. And we've got some math and science teachers doing it. And what they do is sort of the traditional lecture that you would have that is the same as it's ever been. That's what you see at home. And then when you have all your difficult questions and you get stuck on a problem, you're right there with the teacher the next day.
Okay. And I can see both of you want to jump in. So let's see. Jennifer, go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so anxious to jump in here. I think flipped classroom learning is an incredible, incredible concept, and it is something that I know we in Unity would love to implement if we could. We're running into some issues of accessibility, and we're part of SAU 6, which includes Claremont and Cornish, and as we know, there are some socioeconomic disparities there. The accessibility issues are regional in Unity's case. We are a small rural hill town. We have DSL service, which if you have Fairpoint, often isn't working, as in the case of mine.
So downloading that lecture is not always clean.
No, definitely not, especially for many families who have dial-up. And also the socioeconomic considerations are, well, first of all, families would need to have the technology. But also when you have entire school districts like Claremont where the property taxes are so high that residents can't pass a bond that would infuse that kind of technology in a school district, it makes flipped classroom learning impossible both from a teaching standpoint and from a student standpoint. So while in practice it's wonderful, maybe a decade from now it might be doable. At this point, it's just not for many areas.
Well, Unity is so different from Bedford, where Cindy is calling from. Cindy, thank you so much. Good to hear from you. Did you want to jump in as well, Jennifer Thompson? Megan Birch.
That's okay. I would just echo what both of the other panelists have already said. I think that the flipped classroom is an interesting case example of how complex and conditional homework can be. It's got a lot of exciting components. The idea that teachers, adults, are there to support the messy thinking of kids in the classroom. But it raises questions also about accessibility, who has internet, who can have that time. And also, frankly, the caller mentioned how long it takes to watch a lecture. We know that the same homework assignment for different kids is vastly different.
Oh, sure. So, some kids are, competent or have an easy time with one subject versus another. Yeah.
And I think those things are true of the flipped classroom, but I think those things are true of homework more broadly.
All right. Well, again, Cindy, good to hear from you. A couple emails have come in. Here's one from Tom. He says, my kids grew up in New Jersey. Homework was the single most stressful event in my children's education. Tom says it was frequently piled on by multiple teachers, but the teachers, quote, claimed it was 1 to 2 hours per night. In grade school, there were nights when the amount of math alone took me more than 30 minutes to complete. Tom says, he says, I have a BS and MS in computer science, so it was not the mental effort, but the volume questions. He says children also work at different speeds when working on homework. We lobbied for time limits for each child on the time allowed to complete the homework. Otherwise, there were times when our children, while in grade school, would be up till midnight trying to complete their homework with our assistance. Tom, thanks for that email. You can email us as well, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. More on homework on The Exchange in just a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. There'll be a lot to talk about, from the inauguration of Governor Hassan to some of the political turmoil at the New Hampshire House. Send us an email before the show at exchange@nhpr.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the question, does homework matter? It's an old debate with some new elements here in the Granite State. Let's hear from you, your thoughts on this question, or welcome 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Jennifer Thompson is here. She's a teacher at Unity Elementary School, which covers grades K through 8. Tom Crumrine is here, assistant principal at Concord High School. And Megan Birch, interim director of educator preparation at Plymouth State University. And all of you, just before the break, I read an email from Tom, who talked about the difficulty that his kids had with homework. He called it the single most stressful event in my children's education. Here's another email. This is Jamie in Manchester who says, I graduated from high school in Connecticut. And as much as I did not want to do homework in high school, within a month of my first semester in college, I found myself wishing we had more when I was younger because I wasn't used to doing that much work. The 2 hours a night in high school turned to a lot more in college, often at least 5 hours a night. Sometimes I found myself working until it was time for my 8 a.m. class without sleep. Wow. This kept up until graduating. Jamie says, while I was able to handle doing that much work, I wasn't consistently getting the B-plus grades I got in high school until I was a junior and was finally used to completing the intense level of work and excelling at it. It may not make sense for everyone, but Jamie says, for those students pursuing strenuous college majors, they need to get into the habit of carrying a heavy workload. Tom, what do you think?
I agree with the emailer there that as you increase in age and as you decide what you are going to pursue, we're lucky at Concord High that by the nature of the courses that you choose, they are going to prepare you well for that. And it is what I would say is it's very different and it should be gradual. You mentioned the guidelines about homework, that it should increase over time. It's very easy to make this a black or white issue. I'm not necessarily against homework. I'm asking folks to be really smart about it, make sure it's valuable. Mm-hmm. Don't overly punish students for mistakes they do on homework. Let it be practice for
the
game.
It's a learning exercise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to pursue things in college, that there should be a gradual increase as you get older in the high school period.
Well, thanks for both of those emails. And let's go back to the call. Scott's in Merrimack. Hi, Scott. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I just had something that surfaced here that's occurring to me. I'm 65, so I'm old school. I've raised seven kids, partly homeschool, partly public school. And I think that homework, like anything else, you have to use good sense. You have to use moderation. It can't be punishing. But as the caller said just a second ago, preparing her for college, I think it's absolutely necessary. But let's go back even one step beyond that. Let's talk about preparing kids for the discipline of a workforce that even more and more these days is getting to the point where it's allowing people to work from home. It's allowing people to work with less supervision, less micromanaging. And my question is, are kids these days equipped for that? Because my experience, as I hire people now, my experience is, number one, their resumes are absolutely atrocious. But if I can get past the resume, a great majority of the time, I find that they simply don't know how to work.
You know, this is a really interesting point, Scott. Yeah, and you're right. So many more people are working from alternative offices, working at home. Certainly people trying to find work-life balance are working from home. People working while on the road, traveling. I'm really interested in this subject. Megan Birch, what do you think?
Well, I think that what he's describing is a need for perhaps some kind of homework that could aid in that kind of preparation. But it's not just having homework, but the quality of homework. Because I can imagine homework that would build the kind of skills that he's talking about. I can also imagine homework that would build the kind of lack of work ethic. Because, and again, not because the students are having to have a lack of work ethic, but because, you know, why would I do something that was disrespectful to me or that was something I already knew or that didn't seem purposeful? So I think it's important to talk about how homework can assist in either college and career readiness, but it could also detract. So simply having it doesn't equate to readiness.
Thank you for that call, Scott. And let's see. Let's go next to, I'm not quite sure yet which call we're going to go to next. Klaus is calling from Hudson. Hi, Klaus. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I grew up in Europe, got my school education there, half of my university education, and then the rest I did in the States. Now, my concern is, on an international level, we're not, here in America, we're not doing as great as we used to anymore. You know, we're falling back in medicine. If you look at the provider network, look at the last names, and you get the idea what I'm talking about. Also, when I'm hiring a computer specialist, there are about four applications from people from India for one application from America. So I'm asking, how much can we afford you know, to relax the current requirements, I understand, you know, we got to consider the emotional situation of the children and parents, maybe also some socioeconomic considerations. But the question is, at the end of the day, we're competing internationally, and can we afford to do less?
Well, here's my question for you, Klaus, and I'm glad you called because I did want to ask about these international comparisons. Is it more homework then, or is it a longer school day where the teacher is there and the environment is more structured? Is it a longer school year, or is it more homework? It seems like there's a couple ways to accomplish what you're talking about, and I wonder what you think, given your experience in other countries.
Right. Homework, I think, is just a bad name. I would call it independent study. You know, it's something you do on your own. Maybe you have to ask someone for help in the process, but the idea is that it complements the classroom lecture, some labs and tutorials, and typically, if you're really interested in the subject matter, you go a little bit ahead of the assignment, looking forward into the next lecture. This is kind of what was called the flipped classroom. To me, homework is just a part of education. You know, it's what I do on my own, because either it's an assignment that needs to be completed that relates to the caller from Merrimack who was complaining about people not knowing how to get the job done. But it's also, a way of being interested in the subject matter.
All right. Klaus, thank you very much for calling. Does anybody want to comment on these international comparisons, Tom?
Well, I was looking. I brought a note, and there's a book that I recommend called Catching Up or Falling Behind, where it compares. I think Zhao is the author, Zhao. And it's that, are we falling behind China or are we – where are we? South Korea assigns tons of homework. Their scores are tend to be better than ours. Finland assigns almost no homework. Their international scores are better than ours. And so I think it's that question of the school day, what Klaus talked about with value, where he talked about an independent practice. And I don't think it's all – I think he's right in it's not all about just homework or doing things in a certain place. It's practicing. And that's where we had the issue at Concord High School. Practice is important. Whether it's graded, not graded, however it works, you have to practice to be able to do something eventually. And if you never practice for the game, it's the very rare individual that can do the game without practice.
Let's take another call. This is Patrick in Manchester. Hi, Patrick. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. I taught for 41 years, but I taught special ed, so I wasn't involved with tons of homework with my kids. But I've done a lot of research lately on sleep deprivation. And the amount of sleep deprivation amongst our high school students is appalling. And all the studies show that without sleep, you do not perform well. And the neighborhood I live in, we've got a lot of kids in here, kids that are in the top 10 in their class. And these kids are up to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I gave them a lecture to listen to online about sleep. And these kids just come back and say, sounds great, Patrick, but I can't do it.
1 or 2 o'clock in the morning doing homework?
Yes. These are kids that are in the top 10 in their class. You know, they're athletes. They're involved with dance. They're involved with lots of activities. And these kids they're buried. They're buried with homework. Now, this isn't a nightly thing, 1 or 2 o'clock, but there are nights when these kids are up to 1 o'clock in the morning studying.
Wow.
Getting homework done.
Well, Patrick,
go off to hear the answer.
Thanks for calling in. And kids need their sleep. We all know that. I need my sleep. I can't perform on the air if I'm wiped out. What do you think, Jennifer?
Well, what Patrick was saying relates to what Megan had mentioned earlier about educators wanting to educate the whole child. We want our children to be well-rounded. We want them not only to be academically successful, but also socially successful as well. Our students are stressed out. There's no doubt about it. I administered my middle schoolers a survey yesterday. And most of them are fairly conscientious about homework in this particular class. They also play basketball. They also do some after-school activities. And they related that, you know, even though they don't mind the homework necessarily. They are stressed out. They get home. They're tired. They don't get family time. Some of them are up until 10 o'clock at night, which for adolescents is too much. And that's what teachers and even parents like myself are struggling with. What is the balance? Our kids are busy. Unity has a 7-hour instructional day, so we're later than most. We want our kids to be out there being active and healthy. We want them to get enough sleep. We also want them to have family time. So it's a real struggle. You know, I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to meet my kids' needs if they're telling me that they're stressed out and still make sure that they're achieving?
I do have to wonder about, though, when I hear that kids are up until 1, 2 in the morning doing homework. For sure. I'm sure that happens. I do wonder, though, I wonder what you think, Jennifer. You know, we see studies also that show that kids, your average American kid, you know, spends many hours a day in front of a screen, not doing homework. You know, they're on Facebook, they're playing games, you know, they're watching a funny video or whatever. So I my sympathy only goes so far for kids who are up till 2 in the morning when they're, you know, on Facebook for 2 hours after school. They could be doing their homework and go to bed at a reasonable hour.
I agree. And there certainly are students who do that. And there's, again, a balance that teachers need to walk in. You know, at what point are we assigning homework that's purposeful, efficient, and personalized according to the student's needs, basically doing everything we possibly can? And when are we pandering to them? You know, when are we, you know, easing up too much in order to accommodate what they're saying their needs are? And I think that's the point when parents, the adults, really need to step in and be monitoring what's going on at home. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to accommodate students' needs by assigning homework that they're actually going to do, but then finding out that, you know, they blew it off because they wanted to play Minecraft all night.
Megan.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about, that 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning, and I assume that those students who are working till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning are working. I assume that they're not on Facebook, or that they're, or if they are, they're doing it in a healthy, smaller amount or whatever. I went to a high school that had a lot of homework like that as a student. And the question that comes to mind when I hear a student who's up until 1 or 2 in the morning is why? What assumptions is the teacher making, the parent making, the student making about why staying up until 1 and 2 in the morning to do this homework is important? And I think there are some assumptions that are out there, right? That's, these are not the teachers and the parents and the students aren't making these up. They're messages that are sent. So what about the competitive nature of getting into school? What about the accessibility of getting into college? What about, you know, the stories that we talk about in terms of like what you need to do in high school in order to be successful? And perhaps one of the things that we could talk about when a kid is staying up until 1 or 2 is what conditions could change or would have to change so that a student could not stay up till 1 or 2, get the sleep he or she needs, have a healthy, you know, family time, and still have opportunities.
Well, it's interesting. We've talked and heard from people like Patrick and others this hour about kids being overwhelmed, and some other people who feel that kids don't have enough homework. The National Assessment of Educational Progress looked at the data a couple years ago, looking at 1984 through 2012, and found that regardless of age, most American students have less than an hour of homework a night. A sizable percentage have none at all, and that's been the case for a long time, again, from 84 to 2012. Just a couple numbers. This is 2012 data, the last year that it was available. 22% of 9-year-olds, 21% of 13-year-olds, 27% of 17-year-olds reported having no homework at all. So I just wonder about this, Tom, that, you know, you look at, you hear the stories, but then you look at the data and it doesn't seem like kids are that overburdened.
Well, and I think there can be no homework good and there can be no homework, you know, the kid's not practicing enough. That I think is one of the big things, to get a little bit away from the word homework and think about practice. It is the very rare person. My friend Ron in college did not need to do his calculus homework, and he got an A. That is not
darn
most
it, Ron.
Of us. Yes, that is not most of us. And whether it's in the band or on the football team, that I think teaching students the – and I know I think you've had shows on grit, the importance of keeping trying, the importance of reaction to setbacks. If you don't get something the first time, what do you do after that? And this idea of teaching kids how to practice really does get them prepared for the real world. And I think that's an important thing to focus on.
Although you do hear that, you know, some kids learn more in band than they do in school. You know, that's what really engages them. The sports are important for some kids. I'm looking at you now, Jennifer. Karate, community institutions, the library, the church, whatever it may be. So you don't want to take away from that either. That creates a well-rounded person.
Absolutely. But also, if homework – actually, I really loved Klaus's term that he used.
Independent study.
Independent study. Mm-hmm. That is a wonderful way of looking at it. You know, ultimately, we want students to develop a love of learning. And so if their assignments that they're taking home are going to help them do that, you know, what better a purpose does homework have? That's the goal. We want students to go on and to develop discipline and problem solving. And they'll do that if they really love the content.
Well, and like our emailer said, you know, he wished he had more homework in high school because once he got to college, he wasn't quite sure how to keep up with the work. Here's a quick email from Sandy. 35 to 45 minutes, 4 days a week of homework is stressful for parents. Why not an hour and a half to 2 hours of basketball, football, dance, band, plus a performance 5 to 6 days a week? So lots of competing interests, lots of stuff we want our kids to do. Thank you so much all for being here. I really appreciate it. Tom Crumrin, it was good to see you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Tom Crumrin, he's an assistant principal at Concord High School. Jennifer Thompson, good to see you too. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer Thompson, teacher of language arts and social studies at Unity Elementary School. And Megan Birch, it was nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Megan Birch, Interim Director of Educator Preparation at Plymouth State University. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Senior producer is Ellen Grimm. The producer is Faith Meixel. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Kanoy.